This week's Linux Daily is brought to you by the Golden Group and the event they produce, ISPCon. The event is being held April the 14th through 16th. Check it out at ispcon.com. Also, IDG World Events. And there are two events, the Linux World Conference and Expo and Macworld. Also, Linux Journal, linuxquestions.org, linuxtoday.com, and Fuse, F-Y-U-Z-E.com. But most of all, we'd like to thank you, the listeners, who throw a few dollars in our tip jar. It takes us a couple hours a day to produce this show. If you like what we do, think of it as a 25-cent per day investment. That works out to a mere $100 per year to subscribe for our show. So, is 25 cents a day too much to ask for a couple of hours of our time? And now, on with our show. Hello, this is the Linux Daily for Monday, April the 26th, 2004. Our first story of the day has not really been covered in the mainstream media as of yet, and in a way it's a bit of an irony. For years and years, the people in the open source community have been very worried about the GIF standard, as well as MP3, and only mildly concerned with the JPEG standard as it languished away in the U.S. Patent Archives. JPEG was originally a development of the Joint Photographic Experts Group, a group of a couple of different standards organizations, ISO and ITU. If you go to the JPEG.org website, you'll find any discussion of patent issues a little bit gray, because although the joint body did establish some standards on a non-license basis, or a non-cost-per-use basis, one of the fundamental patents used in JPEG was issued in 1986 to a company by the name of Compression Labs. Compression Labs is no longer with us. They are long gone. However, recently a Texas company, a company by the name of Forgent Networks, saw some value in the patent and has acquired the patent rights to the original patent issued to Compression Labs. Forgent is now in the process of contacting companies that have built graphic manipulation tools and are asking for royalty fees through license. Again, although it hasn't hit the mainstream media as of yet, it did hit Slashdot a couple of weeks ago and caused quite a bit of stir. More validation for the PNG movement. Apparently, this is not an unusual tactic for a business to take, whether you are the original patent holder or one who has acquired a patent many years later. A patent holder may wait years, literally a decade or longer, to wait for their codec or their piece of software to become a standard before they go out and start seeking license fees. This is part of the whole core argument behind open standards, and indeed the open source software movement in general. If codec standards were GPLs, we would not even be having this discussion right now. At least for the present, Forgent claims that they are only going after those companies that have developed software that make use of the JPEG compression standard. However, don't be surprised if we get SCO'd again. We do have Forgent Networks on our list of companies being contacted for a future guest slot on the Tuesday night edition of The Linux Show. One of the cooler stories of the last week or so, I actually first heard of this on CBS News a couple of nights back, and they sourced the London Times, so I went out to the London Times website and did a little bit of research and have contacted the people at BuoyNet. But story number two today discusses David Bowie and his rather audacious offer for homegrown DJs to steal his music and make hot mixes. He has literally invited the entire worldwide public to steal his hits and remix them. He's only putting a couple of caveats into this. Number one is that it has to include at least one piece from Bowie's latest album, Reality. On Bowie's own website, he states, "Being a hybrid maker off and on over the years, I'm very comfortable with the idea and have been the subject of quite a few pretty good mashups myself." The term mashup used by Bowie is to identify a hot mix. "Just a warning, I wouldn't just go out and do this if I were you. If you plan on publishing this music until you've gone out to the davidbowie.com, davidbowie.net websites, and checked out all of the fine print in the contract associated with contests that David Bowie is running in conjunction with this." He's asking for those bedroom DJs to submit their hot mixes, and he's going to actually have a contest and perhaps even put together an LP of these mitzvahs. Last story of the day is that John McCain has announced that the Senate is going to revisit the Telecommunications Act of 1996. You can look at this two different ways. This is good news for some and bad news for others. It can also be looked at as good news and bad news for the same people. It really depends upon your perspective. My hope would be that this is an opportunity for our country to revisit a debacle that we have lived with for almost a decade. But our experience with government in general would lead us to believe that this is an opportunity to only compound disaster with further disaster. The good news, if there is any, is it appears that they're cloaking this revisitation with the charge to ban internet taxation for at least another 4 years. That, of course, does not include sales tax. That is the imposition of additional taxes beyond local state sales tax. While at the same time rewriting this legislation to broaden it to include DSL, satellite, and cable TV, or I should say cable internet service, they're also taking this as an opportunity to legislate the small and medium market ISPs out of the marketplace altogether. I have a quote from a source that prefers to be unidentified that states to me that, in the words of Senator John McCain, the ISPs are just a fly in the ointment to the problem of broadband distribution. This comment was, of course, not intended for public distribution. You, of course, will hear more on this subject from me as the days go on. One last comment today. I am once again encouraging you, if you have something to say to the Linux and open source community, to chime in here. It's real simple to participate. Go download yourself a copy of Audacity software and run out to Radio Shack before the end of April and grab yourself a 33-302 microphone. That is a $40 microphone that Radio Shack presently has on sale for $19.95. You will also need a 1/4-inch mono to 1/8-inch mono adapter to plug into the microphone port of your sound card. With a little bit of luck, that's all you're going to need. If your sound card can't drive the power to the microphone, then you may need to take a few additional steps. Please check out our website, www.thelinuxdaily.com. There is an article posted there on a number of different measures you can take to customize your own little mini broadcasting facility. But please jump in. The invitation is open for people in the Linux community to participate. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. And see you tomorrow night on the Tuesday night edition of The Linux Show. You have been listening to a pre-recorded edition of The Linux Daily. If you'd like to participate, email us at staff@geekcast.com. And if you enjoy what we do, please feel free to check out our website, support our sponsors, as well as click on the PayPal button, throw us a few bucks. Catch you tomorrow.